on it. Everything was avocado colored.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I had all, my parents were rocking all of the avocado covered appliances in the kitchen. They all matched.
Yeah.
And people using natural light photography.
Yeah, totally.
Talking about the 70s, by the way.
This comes in avocado or burnt umber. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for giving a look. No, we were just dwell on radio talk, but we were talking about Z100 and how, A, I have no idea who listens to that station anymore. Apparently it's no one. B.
Well, kids don't listen to radio. Right?
Which I guess is convenient that no one listens because I don't think they have anything left to play at this point. Because they just, because Z100 is played, what is it? Is it top 40? They don't even call it top 40. What the hell do they even call that?
CHR? Is that so-called CHR?
I don't know.
It used to be.
It used to, well, CHR, somebody told me that AOR didn't exist anymore. And AOR, which was album-oriented rock, which was what I did in the 90s, which was album-oriented rock was sort of
block party weekends.
It was, well, it's album-oriented rock was sort of like KUFO, but not quite as metallic. KUFO was a little heavier than what we did anyway, but I don't even know if CHR exists anymore. I was saying how K-Hits, which is our sister state, which we are literally like 5 feet away from K-Hits. Man, that's it. I'm not really the target audience for that station. I don't know that it's something that I would just have on all the time, but I hear it sometimes in the morning. That's a really fantastically run station, and they do that great thing where every hour at 45, they after they play a 45. They have a turntable in it. They play it off the record, and you hear like the crackle and the snapping sound and the hiss. It's very cool sounding. So, all right. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, is this the vegan? Fantastic. All right, so I don't have time to play CJ's phone message, which went so long that he was cut off either once or twice, which he referred to as an abrupt cutoff. But we've got Sports Fight 17 is coming up, and last time we did the city versus suburbs, we were, trolled the audience to find a fighter from a listener from the suburbs and a listener from the city. And for a follow-up, we were going to do a vegan versus a meat eater, vegan versus carnivore, and this is all based on this guy, CJ. So some listener who called up, it was all like talking a bunch of smack about wanting to beat up a meat eater, and then when given the opportunity to do so, it ran away. And so we ended up getting like five or six different guys who were meat eaters, and I think at least a couple women who wanted to do it, and then CJ bailed out like a sissy, and so we were suddenly up to our eyeballs in meat eaters, had no vegan, and we were about ready to call it off. Yesterday, I think, is what we'd said was going to be the final. We said we didn't get somebody to the end of yesterday, we weren't going to do it, but I got this last night, and it says, vegan combatant. Rick, I would and the phrase vegan combatant is fantastic. Rick, I would love to help. Yesterday, you spoke of the vegan fighter who turned coward. I cannot listen to the show for a couple of days, but I may be able to volunteer. For over 10 years, I have come in and out of a diet of vegetarianism and veganism. I can train with a vegan diet regimen, no problem. Plus, I love to practice Tai Chi. Is Tai Chi that thing where you just stand and, like, you don't, like, you just do, like, a sort of slow-motion swishy thing with your hands?
I think, it takes a lot of balance and agility and whatnot, so I think he might be pretty strong.
It's that thing, I don't know, I'm not knocking, I just don't know what it is. It's that thing that doesn't look like...
Tai Chi is that weird thing that you see people doing in the park. And it's like synchronized.
It doesn't look like exercise?
Yeah.
I just see panhandling in the park.
Tai Chi's when they come after you with a grubby rag and some Windex. All right. You got change! So not only am I slim, he says, and freaked out by prime rib, I like to practice slow motion fighting. Okay, there you go. That's it. How much more of an underdog do you need? Would you let me enter the arena to this? Listen to this. Would you let me enter the arena to the sound of an Air Supply ballad?
Yes.
Hell yes, we would. In fact, I think we'll now demand it. Currently, I weigh 177. Well, that's good because he had to be. Well, wait a minute. But now that was
175.
Well, but that was based on the other. Because CJ the vegan was 165, and you had to be within 15 pounds of that. So we would need one of our meat eaters to be between 152 and 192. Is that right? Yeah. I think we have somebody who fits that. All right, well, this is it. Well, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. This is Derek the vegan. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Now, where are you at right now? Are you out of town right now?
I'm sitting in a hot car on Broadway.
Fantastic. It is hot where you are. How hot is it out there?
Well, I've got the windows rolled up so that you don't hear the traffic, so that makes it a little bit worse.
Is your air conditioner running?
No, there is no. It's an old car.
Is there a baby in the car?
Are you covered in cats?
Neither.
Oh, man. And do you ever do this? Do you ever go to somebody's house during the summertime? They never have air conditioning, and there's always a pet that wants to jump right up into your lap. Boy, this is... You want to talk?
It will not get out of my lap since it's been warm.
Man, you want to talk about the worst thing ever? When I was a little kid, and I was sensitive to the heat from way back because, again, I grew up in a desert, and you think that it'd make you tough, but it just made me a big sissy. I had allergies. I had everything wrong with me you could possibly imagine. When I was a kid, asthma, all of that. I remember going to a friend's house in the Kennewick heat. It's 107. I walk in the house. I immediately start to swell shut at every orifice from the allergies. And then there's like three different cats that jump up and down at me, won't leave me alone. Just one of those things where you just want to set yourself on fire. You know, you want to throw yourself off the railing to the rocks below to end your misery. All right, so I'm just trying to keep you in the car with the windows rolled up and the air conditioning, you know, non-existent for as long as possible here.
Thank you.
No problem. So you've been doing veganism, vegetarianism, et cetera. You currently weigh 177. So you would be willing to fight a meat eater.
Well, this was sort of an exploratory email, and I don't know if I want to commit yet, but yeah, I'd be open to it.
Don't be a sissy. Don't call up and then equivocate like the last guy, because the next thing you know, you're gonna become and go, well, I did not anticipate the, I can, and then you're just gonna hang up.
And I've also been eating birds for a year and a half now, so I would have to go back to
just like in the park,
being
just
vegan,
just catching them. But you've been a vegetarian and a vegan. It says so you've been alternating between the two.
Yes, and eating fish and fowl sometimes.
So you are a vegan at heart.
At heart, yes, and I could be at the time of entering the ring.
All right, and you are more or less a vegetarian. I think we'd be willing to let that slide. You would be fighting for the side of veganism, though.
Yes, I could represent the cause.
Would you really be entering the arena to the sound of an Air Supply ballad?
No, I just figured that if you played up the whole wussy thing, it might add to the promotional aspect.
Well, I was going to say, because I think we've already found the music. I might actually be able to dig up just some James Taylor or something for you. All right. So now you got to realize, here's a couple things. A, this will obviously be conducted. It'd be, you know, referee there and safety equipment. And I think if you end up committing to this, now that we will actually have training that will happen next week. We actually have some people lined up to give training to you and to the meat eater. But you got to know, as I said to the last guy, which is, I think, what caused CJ to back out, that this is not like something that happens in your backyard in front of like 10 or 12 different guys, like from your office. If you are victorious, or if you are sadly defeated and humiliated, this will be in front of thousands of people and and filmed by several different cameras to be played back to your undying shame and horror for all of your days on this earth.
What is the sport like? Is this like one of those ultimate fighting things?
It is, yeah. In fact, it's run by a guy named Matt Lindland, and Randy Couture is part of it too, who are both ultimate fighters. It is very much like a Northwest version of ultimate fighting, yes.
Same rules would apply to our little matches to the professional ones?
Well, in the sense that a guy can't just come in and kick you in the junk and then stab you in the eyes with something, yes. In fact, I know that they're a little more stringent when it comes to, you know, the amateur bouts. And if you go to see, and I would encourage everybody to go see, the sport fight thing anyway. It's pretty cool. But they do the undercard matches first, and then as the night goes on, of course, the matches, you know, they get up to the heavyweight match or to the title bout or whatever. The amateur matches are a lot more, carefully regulated. They stop the fight earlier. The rounds are shorter. If you even look like you're about to bleed anywhere, they come in and I think they end everything. Whereas, like, the end of the night, by the time the final match happens, is literally one of your limbs could just be hanging limply, you know, by your side, and one of your kidneys could be on the mat. And as long as you don't want to throw in the towel, they'd let you keep going. You guys, though...
I've seen it on video. It's gruesome.
No, it's brutal. It's fantastic. That's what makes it great. So with you guys, though, it would be a little more heavily regulated.
And when would this happen?
This would be happening Saturday, August 5th at the Rose Garden, my friend.
Oh, that soon?
Dude? I thought you were in fight. You've been practicing Tai Chi. In fact, it says here, Rick, I've been practicing slow motion fighting. Sounds to me like you're ready to go, my friend.
Mm.
Oh, see, listen.
Maybe.
Listen to the sound of prevarication. Listen to the sound of the spine melting away into nothingness here.
If I was 100% committed, I would have called up while you were on air, but that's why I sent the little safe email.
Now, what is it? Now that we've got you here in front of God and everybody, now what is causing your equivocation here? Why are you buckling?
Because I don't really train as hard as I really should.
Well, it's not like you're going to be fighting Andre the Giant. You know, the guy, whoever it is, the meat-eating guys that we got from the audience. To my knowledge, none of those guys are professional fighters. None of them are professional boxers. They're all just guys who wanted to beat up a vegan.
would be
no pressure.
Totally fine unless they're like guys that spend their Friday nights getting their nose smashed in at
well, and given
listener parties.
Now, given the makeup of our audience, I don't know that I can entirely rule that out.
Mm.
All right, hold on a second. Let me just. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Great.
Don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you on hold. That's Derek. Hey, Scotty J, can you see if Susan Reynolds, marketing guru for CBS Radio Portland, can you see if Susan is in her office? Can you see if you can get a hold of her? And we will have, yeah, if you can track her, or in fact, if she's not there, see if Gia can come on and actually explicate for us a little bit. Because I've actually just kind of passed along all the meeting and guy information to those guys. And so they can actually sort of weigh in. All right. Thank you. Yeah, just see if you can track them down and we'll figure it out. We should probably break here, as a matter of fact. Let's break here. Because I don't want to get behind, because here's what's coming up. We've got Jim Roop coming up. We've got the top five coming up. We're going to be talking to Trevor, who saw a taping of Rockstar Supernova on Sunday. And we will have another installment of Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. When we come back here, we may have a definitive answer on the vegan versus carnivore fight. So we'll figure it out one way or the other when we come back. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere, my friends. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for giving a look. Coming up here just a few, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Later on, we'll recap with Derek. You could hear how even on the phone, though, he was beginning to equivocate and weasel out. There's a whole lot of, well, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure about this. So later on, we will speak with Susan Reynolds from CBS Marketing. We'll find out if we've got two consecutive. Not, no skin of mine, doesn't matter. 503-733-2970. Also, Trevor, who is at the taping of Rockstar Supernova on Sunday, will come on. He will come on later on this, I don't know, well, at
oh,
top of the hour.
You never guessed what the song was either.
I didn't. Listen to this. Look at the note. Derek, I have a back injury that is currently healing.
Oh,
that
no.
That is completely a lie. That's a fabrication is what that is. Because if he actually had a back injury that was healing, he wouldn't have emailed in and volunteered to do it in the first place. And he can say that he was only quasi-serious. Funny how he didn't mention that when he was on the phone with us just now. We had him on the... Uh-huh. No. See, well, listen to this. It's like when you ask your mom if you can do... Mom, can I spend the night over at Joey's house? And she goes, I'll think about it, which means no. I'll think about it means no. That's what that means. That's like when a girl says, oh, I don't know, maybe some other time. That means no, you are never getting in. That's what that means. Uh-huh. Listen to this. Derek has back injury. Not wimping out, has back injury. We'll let us know in 24 hours. Okay, I guess we can scratch him. I guess it's not happening then.
It's a 24-hour back flu.
That's fine. Never mind, we'll just cancel our calls to Susan Reynolds and Gia. It doesn't matter. I guess we're just moving forward.
There'll be no valuable prizes to be won.
No, and I guess shame is brought upon the House of Vegan this day. What was I talking about? What was I saying? I was talking about something or other just now.
I don't remember.
I asked if you had heard what Storm's song is.
Ah, yes. Okay, so we were talking about this yesterday. I'm sorry, it's the heat. It's sapping them my will to live. Like a big heaty succubus thing. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Trevor will be on at the top of the hour. He's going to talk about the Rockstar Supernova thing that he saw today. He was at the taping on Sunday, which will air tonight. And I have to say right now that I don't know if I'll be there or not. I know Sarah's going to be watching it at Sabala's. Kristen usually watches it at Dante's. I know that I usually go to Sabala's to watch it, but I got the Miami Vice screening is tonight. And
Come
Scott
on.
Scott Daly has
we
invited
have,
me to the...
We had Storm on as a guest yesterday. You don't know anybody in Miami Vice. You do know Storm. Don't you want to go and support her?
I want to go support FilmFeverRadio.com.
You know, the more people that show up to watch it, the more people are going to vote, the more, you know, of a chance that Storm has of winning this.
Here's the thing, though, is that Scott Daly, he secures us a lot of movie passes, and then I always say that I'm going to go, and then I never do. Like yesterday, Scott Daly, he gave me a little text message. He's like, hey, Woody Allen screening tonight, that new movie Scoop, which Woody Allen, man, he's just cranking them out lately. And the all-star Scarlett Johansson, for some reason, who he has termed his new muse.
Yeah.
You know, the great thing is Woody Allen.
To his daughter, wife.
Totally. He's like 100 years old, and you know that he's totally hit that. You know that Woody Allen and Scarlett Johansson have been nude and sweaty in the same bed together.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
Why would you say that?
Because it gives hope to me. It gives hope to all of us who are like that. Because I myself am a frail, nerdy, bespectacled, dorky guy.
His MySpace picture is probably from the 1960s.
it's just a bag of dust. Anyway, but Scott Daly gives me a text. I can never say texted. It just sounds retarded. But he sends me a text message. He's like, hey, the new Woody Allen movie is screening. I can't go. Aaron is not a Woody Allen film. Do you want to go? And I'm like, yes. You know, and so he comes by yesterday, takes time out of his busy schedule, drops off tickets to the new Woody Allen screening. And then I ended up not being able to go anyway because all this crap came up and I wasn't able to go. And so tonight, now, Scott Daly and Aaron Geek in the City are doing a screening of Miami Vice tonight. At whatever, I forget what theater it even is.
And Lloyd Center.
At Lloyd Center. And so they've invited me to go. And I feel almost obligated to now because they're constantly giving me tickets and then I'm saying I'm going to go and then I'm always bailing out. And so I feel like they're offering me stuff that I seem excited about and then I never take them up on it. I don't want them to feel slighted or offended.
If Scott knows anything about this program, which he does, he understands how important Storm is to you and how much you need to be watching tonight to support her and to vote for her.
Storm doesn't know whether I'm watching her or not.
Well,
she performed on Sunday.
We're very lucky that she chooses to call us every
day. I have no... I'm
in
not
Paul
telling...
Portland, her hometown.
It's not that I'm not going to watch...
say that she loves us.
Okay, look, you bastards, you vultures, you jackals.
It's a live voting show. What good does it do for you to go to Miami Vice and then watch it later?
I can vote because I can vote later.
You know how much fun it is to sit there and heckle all the other people. It is a good time in and of itself just to make fun of Zahira.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't watch the program, and I'm not saying I wouldn't vote. Clearly, I will do both, but it's going to be on the TiVo, and you can vote for 3 hours. I mean, I can vote up until, 1 a.m., I think.
I just work better in a group support environment. I feel like we need to watch this together.
This is creepy. This is turning into one of those, I just don't feel complete unless you're with me, Rick.
You never go out, and everyone's so excited when they see you out, and you're being, you know, the little social butterfly you are.
Scotty is typing in the screen. What about, who cares about Florida Sounders? What about the support of Florida? All right. Well, whatever. Anyway, we'll talk to Jim Rope here in a few minutes, and we'll find out the deal with Laura Caviezel, who's the guest booker at CNN, who was supposed to be back yesterday. Amazingly enough, though, following the upbraiding she got at the hands of Gary Baumgarten, who apparently CC'd everybody in the entire company about her lackluster job performance, she has not returned yet. And the booking has been doing has been going a lot better, though, in her absence.
And
so we'll
I would
find
be on her side
that.
Had she not decided to be a bitch about it.
She
and
not
say, like,
screwed you?
No, and had she not been like, well, I assume that you were on the ball, Sarah.
Sarah, I
work at CNN.
Yeah, seriously. So as though it's our job to be the premier news gathering organization in the Western Hemisphere. Anyway, Storm was on with us yesterday for the Storm Watch, and she said that today, because I had gone on and on about how Surrender, which she performed 2 weeks ago, that was, you know, because I hold up Surrender by Cheap Trick to be the greatest of all rock songs. And that was probably the best performance she's done so far. I don't know what she performed on Sunday. In other words, I don't know what her performance tonight will be. But she said that it just buries everything she's done so far. She said the audience loved it. She said that Jaws are... And you know, right? You know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you went on a spoiler board.
I do. No, I didn't go on a spoiler board. Someone sent it to me to my Gmail account, and you know how it reads the first line of
and the subject line was like, Dumbledore gets killed.
No, the subject line was like, don't read this if you don't want to know, and then next to it was the name. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to find out later today anyway, because Trevor, again, who was at the taping, is going to come on, and he's going to give us, because there's so much stuff I want to know about the taping. I want to know how long it takes. Do they ever do multiple takes of a song? What do the judges say that we're not allowed to hear? Is Brooke Burke really that hideous in person? I want to know all of these things about it. So I'm going to be spoiled on the song anyway. So I figured I might as well try to learn what it is. So Storm sings, she goes last, I know that, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't she go last?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so she sings a song, is it, individual performer or a group?
It's a group.
A group.
I need to research them a little bit because I don't know.
Okay. Rose to fame in the 90s?
I'd say like mid-80s to
mid-80s
early
to,
90s.
To the early 90s. Hair band.
Not really.
Not a hair band. Group. Late, mid-80s to the early 90s. Okay, not a hair band. Okay, I'll look away. Because you're Googling you're Googling the band right now. Where's Sarah? She can't come out. She's Googling the band. I kill me! Let's see. One hit wonder?
For the most part, yes. This is the only song of theirs that I know.
Metal?
No.
Plastic?
I mean, hard rock?
No. Not hard rock.
Really? Pop? Just straight up pop?
Not straight up pop.
Hip hop?
No.
Rock in some way?
Yeah, it's rock in some way.
Okay.
Alternative.
What state? What alternative? Really? Okay.
It's like alternative pop.
Is it a song by The Cure?
No.
Okay.
You're getting closer.
Okay. So Storm sings a song
A song with a really interesting name.
Okay, but...
A band.
She sings a song by a group, mid-80s to early 90s, alternative, one-hit wonder. Is it Melt With You?
No, but you're getting close.
Tainted Love.
It's in that same kind
of... Tainted Love? No, somebody already sang Tainted Love.
No.
All right. Male singer or female lead singer?
It's a male.
Male lead singer. All right, we'll have to come back. We will continue to ponder it here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN. I'm sorry, that's my fault. You know what it is? I had a little too much caffeine and not quite enough breakfast. So I'm a little, jittery. Well, we'll get to Jim Roop in a moment. CBS, Radio Portland marketing guru, Susan Reynolds. How are you, Susan?
Oh, I'm glad you took your time there and flubbed up because I was eating and gave me a chance to chew.
I'm glad somebody got a chance to eat. You know what it is that I had these, speaking of vegans, I had this, a bunch of Garden Burger stuff today. And with Garden Burgers, you can never tell, I never know how many of those to eat because I don't actually know if there's any food in those. I get the feeling that I'm basically just eating cardboard and, It's like, so I had the feeling I had to eat like a whole case of those to get the equivalent of what my normal breakfast would be. So I got that kind of weird, jittery, my brain is sort of fluttering away from its moorings feeling today of too much caffeine and not quite enough sustenance.
Well, plus, I can't believe you would eat a Garden Burger with all the smack talking about
the
vegan.
That's my wife. It was the only thing left in the house.
Oh.
It's like, I found out, I've talked about this before, that I found out a while back that she was, it's like that old thing where you replace everything with Folgers crystals, that she's been secretly replacing a lot of our meat with tofu and not telling me about it.
Oh, that is harsh.
Seriously. And this is, what's this? This tastes a little spongy. Well, it's a different kind of meat. What kind of meat? Well, tofu, just... If I hadn't asked, you would have just fed me tofu the rest of my life. I've got to keep abreast of these things.
Ugh.
All right, so did you hear Derek calling in earlier?
Well, unfortunately, I was in one of my many meetings,
yes.
So I did not.
All right, well, Derek called in. Derek, and I read you the email from him. He's the guy who made the joke about entering the arena to the sound of an Air Supply song.
Yes, I feel he already has a couple of strikes against him.
And he said, or for him, depending on how one views it. So he said that he has been a vegan / vegetarian, one or the other, for the better part of the last decade. And I said, well, hey, great. We got these meat eaters. None of them are professional fighters. It sounds like you guys would be ready to go. And he said, well, what about safety? And I said, look, the refs are going to be there. You guys are amateurs, so they'll stop it if anything happens. There's going to be some training. And as soon as, but I made the standard caveat. I said, you know what? If you lose, this is not like getting your ass beaten at home in front of your boys. This is like it happens in front of 7,000 people and it's on film and there's, it's going to end up on a DVD at some point of you getting your face punched in. And at that point, he suddenly was like, well, I was only half serious when I emailed in. And then once I put him back on hold to talk to Scotty, then he fabricated some sort of back injury that he supposedly has.
Okay. You know what? These vegans have got to be stopped.
That's it. No, I think we just got to pull the ripcord on this.
I'm happy to do so. Consider it pulled.
I think that at this point we have realized that vegans are all overture, no show.
Absolutely. All big talkers. They got nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
They're an insult to vegan.
What's that?
They're an insult to vegan.
That's what I'm saying. They are not representative of Tim Riley,
though. No, and I'm sorry.
Tim Riley is particular.
I didn't mean you, but I meant all of them but you.
Were Tim not so protective of his dashing good looks, Tim would be stepping in. Is Amanda vegan?
Amanda's very vegan.
How much does she weigh? Oh, she doesn't have enough.
No, she's pretty skinny.
No, she's a tiny girl.
No,
right.
they have all, you know, crashed and burned like a lot of tofu.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is we had, and I want to note for the record here, that we had multiple, we had myriad, we had many, we had massive amounts of meat eaters who volunteered to get in and throw down all of the vegans. They flaked away one by one like so many tiny little flakes of tofu dandruff.
Oh, absolutely. So. In fact, I was getting so irritated, I was about ready to step in the ring.
Yeah, so there you go. So we can now take that off our plate, so to speak. Take it off our list of things that we're going to do, because the vegans have... They have faded
they have
away.
Left the building.
The vegans have left the building. So just wanted to keep you appraised of that.
There were bigger you. Garden burgers to fry.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. We have many more things to work on. Yes.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right. I know this is tedious for everybody, so I'll step up the guessing. All right. So Storm Large. On tonight's rock star, she sings.
Can you see what I'm?
No, I can't. Okay. I'm averting my eyes. So she sings a song by an alternative group fronted by a man. They were popular in the mid '80s to early '90s, and they are essentially a one-hit wonder.
Yes, essentially. This is the. I was looking at their music catalog. That's the one song that I know. And I sang it to about 10 people last night, and nobody remembered it. But
really?
I know you will. Yeah. If I remember it, you'll remember.
Okay. I can't think of any other clarifying questions to ask. So please now to pick up the phone. Don't call if you already know, though. That ruins it all. If you already know what Storm sings, you just keep it to yourself. I gotta figure this out on my own terms. But I can't think of anything else to ask. As for a guy who does this 20 questions thing a lot on the air with other people, I'm terrible at it myself. I never know how to narrow down.
It would also help if I knew a lot more about the band.
Is the singer dead? Do you know that? Is the singer of this band dead or alive?
No, they're alive.
All right, it's 503-733-2970.
But their last album was called Everybody Dies.
All right, 503-733-2970.
That's what Jane says.
Colin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, would this group be The Romantics?
No, but in the same genre.
All right, that's not a narrowing question. That's just a guess.
You're right.
All right, thank you, Colin. All right. People don't know how to play. Whatever happened to people? No, that's
a game by your rules that you haven't described to anybody.
Shut your mouth. No, you know, I can't think of any other narrowing questions. That's my problem. Oh yeah, you're right.
We could play Hangman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. If you have a narrowing, I know what Hangman. Sarah's drawing the Hangman figure in the air with her finger. I know what Hangman is. If you have a clarifying question about what it is that Storm sings tonight, is it Dead or Alive?
No.
It's not Round and Round by Dead or Alive.
Uh-uh.
All right. Let's see.
Do you want me to give you a hint?
Has this song been used in a commercial, to the best of your knowledge?
To the best of my knowledge, no.
All right. Now, don't give me a hint. That ruins it. That cheapens it. All right. I'll just kind of take these as they come in. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Scott.
Scott, do you have a clarifying question about what Storm Large sings tonight?
Well, I have a guess.
Okay, fine. Guess.
All right. Is it Tommy Two-Tone?
No, it is not.
It is not. Okay. It is not 867-5309. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Let's see. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Scotty. No. All right. He's doing that thing again. All right. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Tim.
Tim, what is your question, sir?
British group, American group, what?
A good question. British or American?
American.
But
I would have guessed that they were British.
All right. They are American, but they seem British.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. Let's see. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Do you have a clarifying question about what song Storm Large sings tonight?
I do.
Okay.
Is it, like, a breakthrough video?
Oh, yeah. Was it a video that was famous? Is the video really famous? In other words, is it a sledgehammer, a thriller, an aha take on me?
No.
That's it, yeah.
No, right. No, it's not. I don't remember the video.
All right.
I definitely remember aha, though.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks.
All right. We're trying to figure out what song Storm Large sings tonight on Rockstar Supernova. All right. It is an alternative group fronted by a man, popular in the mid-'80s to early '90s, essentially a one-hit wonder, and they are American. All right, let's talk to Matt. Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey,
what's up?
Not much. Just got a wild guess.
Okay, what is your wild guess, sir?
EMF, Unbelievable.
No.
No.
That would be good, though.
Oh, but, you know, they fit almost all the criteria, except they are British.
Okay. My bad.
All right, no, it's true. Thank you. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll get back to those in just a few. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, live from Los Angeles. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Brother, I am rolling. How goes it in the land of the scorching sun?
It's hotter than it's Africa hot.
It's okay.
Tarzan couldn't take this kind of hot.
It's sun hot.
It's hot. It's yeah.
Here's the thing: is the heat has actually sapped all of our wit. I've been trying to be funny all day, and I've been failing. I've just been sort of flailing around in a big bowl of my own words, desperately trying to make some comedy out of it, and it's just not coming together for me today.
It certainly is tough, sir.
It's 100. Was it 115 in the valley?
Yes.
Good God Almighty.
And it's been, you know, 110 or so, 100 between 108 and 113 and 15 for like 20 days. It's a mess.
I mean, my brain can't even... I can't even conjure up in my head what that must feel like. It's like I can't fathom it. I cannot in any way sort of imagine what that must be like. I mean, it's 105 here, and it's all I can do not to just burst into flames.
But, you know, the temperature is at, I don't know, 98 or something right now where I am.
Right.
And I can't feel the difference between 98 and 100.
Well, but yeah, because at a certain point, smashing yourself on the thumb with a hammer or two hammers.
It's going to feel the same.
Seriously, there's not going to be any difference there. Yeah. And then to top it all off, you guys have got a wildfire going on.
Yeah, we got several of them. We got three of them in the LA area. One of them in Benedict Canyon. That's that area between West LA and the Valley where all those big expensive homes are.
Sure.
You know, Beverly Glen, Beverly Hills.
Here's a dumb question. How do firefighters in 100-degree-plus temperatures even get close enough to a fire to fight it without just literally dropping right there from the heat?
Well, because they got all that crap on, too. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. I don't know, man. They're in better shape than I am.
Seriously, I know that the word hero gets tossed around a lot, very loosely in this country, but you know what? It's 110 degrees out. A guy that's going to put on 40 pounds of equipment, go stand in the sun and fight a wildfire... You know, if that's not a hero, then you got to remove the word from the dictionary. You know what I mean?
I'm turning that damn hose on myself, man. Forget the fire. I'm cooling myself on. Well,
they used to send prisoners from prison to fight those
fires.
They
still do that in forest fires.
Really? Good. See, that's a good idea.
Yeah, they put them in those orange jumpsuits so you can tell who they are.
Well, I mean, sir, do not hand an axe to anyone in an orange jumpsuit. You know what they really ought to do?
Give them shovels. That's it.
You know what? I'm serious about this. They really ought to take, and I know that this sounds like some sort of hideous Bill O'Reilly thing, but you know what? They really ought to have illegal immigrants do stuff like this as a way to perhaps work towards citizenship.
Yeah,
true civic duty. Now, I know it's dangerous, and that's not why I'm picking this particular job for illegal immigrants, but I'm saying jobs that need to be done, but that perhaps not everybody else is lining up to do. I mean, really show some civic duty here as a way to work towards citizenship. That's actually not such a bad idea.
Well, that's what the prisoners do. They instead of having to sit in their cells all day, they get out there and do this, and it works toward, you know, that good behavior thing. You
totally.
Know, obviously, a guy on death row can't do it.
Right.
But, you know, some drug-convicted guys or something like that can get out there and, you know, save a couple of homes from a wildfire. They feel pretty good about themselves. The governor goes, okay, you can go. And everybody's happy.
Yeah. And then, I mean, kind of, and then, of course, there's St. Louis. There's Queens. I don't know if I told you. I think it was McCarthy I told about this. Where in Queens, they had this, whatever they said, 100,000 people or whatever without the power. And then they found out. I found that the only way they arrived at that figure of 100,000 was that was the number of people who had actually called up to say, I don't have any power. And it could have been five times that. 100,000 was just, that was only the people who had actually called Con Ed to go, hey, you guys, I got no light over here. I mean, it could be, you know, 500,000 for all they know.
There are over 600 power outages in Southern California alone. Maybe roughly 49,000-50,000 businesses and homes that they can count right now.
I can't even imagine the damage not only to, I mean, obviously there's, you know, old people and sick people, but then there's food that's got to be thrown out.
Yep.
You know, the livestock, I can't even imagine the smell. Let's talk about New York for a second. New York, let's be honest, doesn't smell very good under the best of circumstances. I cannot even imagine what it smells like in Brooklyn right now. I mean, dude, you can probably smell New York in New Zealand. I cannot even imagine. So, anyway, well, I mean, here's a dumb question. Is it going to get any cooler anytime soon? Not that you're a weather guy, but I mean,
they're telling us that we're getting a break in the temperature, but not the heat because of the humidity. Humidity is still at 63%.
Ugh.
And, you know, that's why that feels like temperature that we're not used to out here.
Right.
You know, out here, when it's 100 degrees, it's 100 degrees.
Sure.
It's dry freaking heat.
Ugh.
But with this humidity, that 100 degrees feels like 115 or feels like 108. But the actual temperature is right around 95, 98, but it just feels hot.
There are a lot of studies out there that say the higher the temperature gets and the longer the temperature is above a certain level, the greater the chance of riots, violence, murder, looting, all of that. So so you're going to have a fun couple of weeks.
It's going to be neat.
Yes, yes. You will have increased job security. Speaking of job security at CNN, here's a curious thing. So, now you may remember
there's
a woman.
Sarah in the background there.
Yeah, here's Sarah cackling. You know what this is about. You may have remembered we've had some difficulties with Laura Caviezel in terms of job booking, in terms of guest booking. See, there's my brain scattering. Guest booking. And so, for the longest time, we've been, when Lisa Goddard is not around, we've tried to get Bob Costantini on, and Laura Caviezel has just said, I'm sorry, Bob's not available, I can't book him, and then we kind of grunt and move on. Well, a couple things have all happened at once. A, Laura was supposed to be back at CNN on Monday. It's now Tuesday, and she's still gone, and there's some other guy answering the phone, and then amazingly, we're able to get Bob Costantini now.
Yeah, no, she was there this morning. She's been there the past couple of mornings.
Oh, really? Maybe she's just ducking Sarah's calls then.
I don't know. She's probably planning her wedding.
Maybe. She was the one who told Sarah that she wasn't giving us news updates because she figured that Sarah was on the ball enough to figure out her own news.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well,
all right.
You know, it's a tough gig, Dad.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
That's why I don't do it.
Seriously. All right. We'll try to stay cool, my friend. And, God, and I just...
What is it like where you are right now? Same thing, right? You got the heat and humidity going.
That's true. Well, I mean, here's the thing about us is that we've been talking... We start off every day by talking about the heat in a sort of joking way because in such a real way I identify weather talk with just, like, terrible, lame, small-town radio. But on a day like today, in a summer like this, really, it is the only thing that you wouldn't think about. Because, like, we're in a small studio here that is essentially unventilated. There's vents in the ceiling, but they're for decorative purposes only. There's no air that comes in. There's no air that goes out. And so the inside of the studio where we do our show smells like a damp, fetid sweat sock.
Or a baked potato.
I tried to freshen it over the weekend by spraying some of that Glade air freshener around. And I realized that's basically just perfume on a pig at this point. Because the Glade air freshener, all it is now is it's just, you know what it is? It's spraying a cow pie. The room still stinks. It just stinks with this hint of chamomile in the background now. And a sort of bad chemical chamomile at that. The thing about Portland is we have not, to my knowledge, had blackouts, brownouts, anything like that. But of course, every time I read a story about LA power being out, Queens power being out, St. Louis power being out, it just makes me terrified that it's going to happen here, because I won't lie, I've had my air conditioner running every single day for like 4 weeks. And I mean, if my air conditioner...
You also have to consider how this place was built. There are more homes that are built in that Santa Clarita, Valencia area that all need air conditioning. The development has been crazy. And not only do we have a hell of a lot more people with air conditioners and other things that they need, without really increasing the amount of wattage that we can get from the ISO or any other power generator. But with all the development period, we don't dissipate heat like we used to. It all retains in here.
Yep.
Now, Portland hasn't developed like that, has it?
No, it hasn't. But it just makes me a little, you know what it is? I feel like one of my uptight Mormon in-laws watching the news and seeing, you know, whatever, seeing like illegal immigrant problems or civil unrest in some other country and going, I hope that doesn't happen here in Utah. Well, that's totally what I feel like in Portland. Like, I hope all those power problems stay in those big scary cities and they don't come to my town. So it does make me, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but when I see the terrible things happening in Los Angeles heat-wise, in Queens, etc., it just makes me ever so grateful that I live here and that I go home and my AC is still running.
I don't feel bad about that at all.
That's what I'm saying.
That's wonderful.
Well, you know what? It's part of living in America is having an air conditioner.
Let me tell you something, man. We got to take care of our heroes.
That's
and we got to take care of you so you can keep the truth going on out
that,
there, man.
That's
truth in entertainment.
That's what I'm saying. Well, and to whatever, you know what, and I don't know what anybody can do for these firefighting guys, but I mean, for what it's worth, I mean, we're, you know, those guys deserve anything they get and everything they get and more. That's a you couldn't pay me enough. So.
Oh, that's true.
All right, man. Well, try to stay cool. We will talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you, boss.
There you go. There's a CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop. I can't imagine fighting a wildfire. 50 pounds of gear, it's 110 degrees. I mean, it's insane. All right. Do we have to break here? Let me do a couple more guesses about this storm song, because we're going to find out in like 5 minutes anyway.
You're going to get it. I'd be impressed if you get it before.
All right. Alternative group from the mid-80s to the early 90s, fronted by a guy. They seem British, but they're American. They're kind of a one-hit wonder. Is it...
They broke up, and then they got back together.
Dramarama.
Yes!
Whoa! Look at that! Bitches! Yeah!
And you know that song, Anything, Anything?
Is it, it's April 21st and everybody knows today is Earth Day.
No,
I've... Well, because they're more than, they had several hits.
That's Harper Valley PTA.
Give you diamonds, give you pearls, give you anything you want, $100 bills.
Maybe I don't even know that song.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you played it with
Everybody knows that song.
Okay, well, but you know, you've learned that I can't say that, you learned that you can't say that to me though, because I have weird, because sometimes with a group, I will know one song that I think is their big hit, and it turns out that everybody else knows a different song that is known to be their hit.
I assume that everyone knew that song, and half the people that I was talking to last night had no idea what it was.
Oh, yes.
We should play it when we come back.
Do you have it?
I'm sure we could find it. I'm good at the internet.
Okay, well, the interwebs. All right, well, see if you can find it, because the only Dramarama song I know is that, is this the, you know I'd do anything for you. Is that the one we're talking about?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, see, so I must know some different song that in my head is their one big hit. And I always get them and the Smithereens confused anyway.
Hmm. Let's break.
I sound like Don Geronimo. Now, you're thinking of that song that came out on the London label in 65. Mono mix only. Yeah. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. After this, we will talk to Trevor, who is at the Rockstar Supernova taping. You stay there. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Don't go anywhere.